When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and we are at the Ritz-Carlton here in Orlando for the NFL Spring. He's right outside, what is it, the Palazzo Salon?
Yeah.
Is that what that says? Palazzo Salon.
I don't like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the media room, I guess.
Yes, that's it. That is the media room. Is you can't really see it out the back here. Of course, you can't see it on the radio at all. But
no, it's gorgeous
the,
view
a beautiful view here of the
pools, back
rotunda,
there,
and everything there.
Stuff,
yeah, it's nice little sight here. We are going over Matt Miller's top 50 prospects here on ESPN, and I like the comps.
The comps
part
are fun,
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a fun part.
Good
of
way
it.
To talk,
makes
yeah.
makes me think about the guys a little bit differently as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're up to, we did the first 25 in the previous segment. Now we're down to number 26, and one of my favorite players in this draft, and that is Cooper DeJean, and the comp is Legarius Sneed.
Hmm.
I like that comp.
I like that one, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we did exactly what we were being, you know, being critical of people being guilty of. We threw out Rod Woodson, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, like, okay, relax, you guys, you know. But that's a good one. I mean, Sneed is a physical player.
Yeah.
Slot. I think he was a safety.
He was
early
a safety,
in his college
yeah.
career, too. He'll hit. He's big. DeJean might be faster, you know, in terms of just straight line speed. Might even be a little bit bigger, but in terms of usage, that's
and he
a good
offers
fit.
A return ability as well.
Yeah.
I don't think
play
Sneed
the run,
a, yeah.
tackler, all that good stuff.
Yeah, no, I love the player.
Mm-hmm.
Love the player.
I actually made him my number one corner in our triple take series.
I had him two.
Now. Yeah.
So.
I had him three, and I kept looking at him like, this doesn't sit right to me. If I'm drafted, that's who I'm taking.
At 27, Xavier Worthy. In the comp is obvious, DeSean Jackson.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Tyreek Hill, but I'm glad. I think Jackson makes more
Jackson's
sense.
Much more. And that's why I can't have him at 27. I can't
Probably
have him
not.
Over some more – established route runners and things of that. Not, he does that. It's not like he's just a speed guy.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Jackson was a really good football player who's also fast, and obviously those two things play off one another, of
right.
course. He wasn't the guy that goes to the combine, burns, but isn't really a good football player.
Right.
Like, Worthy can play.
Worthy can play, yeah. He is worthy of a pick.
He's only, like, 160
but
pounds.
That's what I was just going to say. He's 5'11", 165 pounds, which is more like DeSean Jackson.
Right. He's not Dre Archer. You
right.
know, he's not one of those type of speed guys that's only good in space, but he's little.
At 28, he has Darius Robinson, the edge rusher out of Missouri. And I consider him a defensive tackle when we did our triple take.
I listed him as an end just because NFL.com put him an
yeah.
end, but I think he'll spend more time between the tackles than outside.
Because he's 6'5", 285, but the comp is Cam Jordan.
I see that. I mean, Jordan is about that size. He's been used all over the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Interior pass rusher. I get it. Saints will like him.
Yeah. At 29, Jackson Powers Johnson in the comp is Frank Ragnow.
Okay.
I'd like to remind people that Frank Ragnow was the 20th pick in the draft in 2018 when he came out by the Detroit Lions. And
he's
with,
a top three center.
With the retirement of Kelsey, he might be number one.
Yeah. I mean, I was being conservative with top three. He easily is that. Power player as well. You know, like a Linderbaum is 50 pounds lighter and a lot more agile and things like that.
Yeah, Jackson Powers Johnson is put together.
He really is. I mean, he's like a Coke machine. But he moves really well, too.
Yeah.
He gets second level. He can run.
Yeah, he was fun to watch at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to him after the first practice, and I'm like, you were like every time there was a running play or something like that, you're getting to the second level, and then you look and he's running beside the running back down the
yeah.
field. Like a lot of that.
I was about to say, I love his playing temperament.
Yeah. You know,
like he sets the tone. First guy in the line, back to the huddle, you know, go, energy guy.
Yeah. At 30, he has Graham Barton, the center from Duke, and his comp is Cody Whitehair.
Okay. Whitehair, to his detriment, the Bears moved from guard to
yeah,
center.
He's play, and that may be why
center.
He's – yeah. He's
and James played. Daniels was part of that, yeah. that you know shell game there too, and they never could quite figure it out. We even talked about this, but I'm not 100% uncertain that he can't be a right tackle.
I think he can play tackle, yeah. We talked about it.
I wouldn't draft him at 20 to be a tackle.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
I wouldn't include him in this tackle group.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But if you're – if you were loaded on the interior, I mean, like, I think Dallas would
if you're looking
there.
At position flexible players, mm-hmm. he gives you flexibility to play at any of four spots.
Yeah.
He's not a left. He's not going to play left.
No,
in
not
NFL.
In a traditional sense.
Yeah.
You know, but just bringing up Dallas and Miami, because they have
multiple
two
needs.
Or three
yeah.
spots on the O-line. He's like a glue guy.
Yeah. 31, Nate Wiggins, the cornerback out of Clemson, and the comp is Dominic Rogers-Cromartie.
Ah, I like that one. I mean, he was a speedster, long,
yeah.
man-to-man, outside-the-numbers dude that didn't love tackling. yeah.
At 32, how about this? So he had the Jackson Powers Johnson at 29, Graham Barton at 30. He has Zach Frazier at 32.
Hmm.
So the three centers all grouped together
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And the comp on Zach Frazier, Creed Humphrey.
Okay. Humphrey's a very agile, tough guy, wrestling background
yeah.
as well. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So it would be a right-handed
yeah, I mean,
Creed
lefty,
Humphrey.
There's not many lefty centers, but right, like a lefty catcher.
Yeah. At 33, Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M, and the comp is Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoah. Obviously a bigger version.
Yeah, I'd say he's bigger.
Yeah.
I think Owosu-Koramoah is faster, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a strong safety-like speed guy.
Yeah.
It's not a bad one, though. It's a run and hit player.
At 34, he has Jerzon Newton, or Johnny Newton, as he's being called today. He said he prefers Johnny at the combine. So yeah, but
I guess
we
should call him Johnny.
The given name is Jerzon.
Yeah.
But
you still see him listed as Jerzon
yeah.
at these sites. Yeah.
That's why there's the difference there. It just depends on which site you're looking at. The comp is Grady Jarrett.
Yeah, good one. He's another one that hasn't worked out yet. Everyone talks about DeJean.
Yeah.
Newton hasn't done a thing yet just because of injuries. No, Grady Jarrett would have been drafted much higher today than when he came out.
Yeah.
You know, there's been more of a precedent for those undersized Aaron Donald, Geno Atkins types.
And he had some pass rush abilities.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. yeah.
35, Chop Robinson, the edge rusher out of Penn State, and the comp is Josh Sweat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would think like a Yannick Ngakoue or an Owe or somebody like that.
I think he's a better – he might be better against a run than Ngakoue was.
Than Ngakoue.
Ngakoue's just a speedball.
He's
the
just
edge.
A third down
yeah.
player, yeah. But that's what he does well. His
yeah.
get-off is
no,
great. He's very athletic. Not super productive.
At 36 is Keon Coleman, the wide receiver out of Florida State. In the comp is Drake London.
That's rich for me. I mean, I think London is the 10th to 15th best receiver on the planet and has rare separation skills for somebody that big. Coleman, to me, is a little more contested. But I see what he's going with. I
yeah.
mean, he's a big guy that'll win.
We'll go up and get it. Yeah.
Right. Block. I mean, physical. Keon Coleman in round two for you for the Steelers. You in on that?
Oh, I'd be in on that, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. At 37, Bo Nix, the quarterback out of Oregon. And the comp, I don't get this comp. Dak Prescott.
Dak doesn't get nearly enough credit for what he does pre-snap and cerebral and all those things. And Dak's not as athletic as he used to be or the biggest arm in the league, wins above the neck more than people see. It wouldn't be my comp, but I see where he's going with it.
I would see – so he has Michael Penix next, and his comp for Michael Penix is Tua Tagovailoa. I think Nix is closer to Tua
maybe
than Penix is.
Yeah, although I would love to see Dak in that Miami offense.
Yeah.
I mean, Tua's a – really quick processor. That's his, you know, and they built the offense perfectly around him. I wonder, I think Dak would even be better in the Miami offense than Tua, or even better than he is in the Dallas offense.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying.
I mean, is he comparing Michael Penix to Tua just because they're both left-handed?
I think so. I think that's.
I mean, Penix is a down-the-field thrower.
I don't think they're similar at all.
Yeah.
I mean,
other than being left-handed quarterbacks.
And I also think my concern with both of them, though, is they're not natural playmakers off script.
Yeah.
You know, like, can they avoid they'll have very few rushing yards between the two of them at the NFL level. They don't avoid free rushers very well. But Penix is a much better arm talent downfield thrower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 39, he has Xavier Leggett the wide receiver out of South Carolina. And the comp is Jonathan Mingo.
Mingo, to me, is not as fast or as straight-line powerful. He was a little more gadgety, throw behind the line of scrimmage. I know they did some of that with Leggett, too. Like, again, the comps are hard because you always go for the big dogs. But I think he's a little more A.J. Brown-ish. You know, Michelob Ultra version. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, A.J. Brown's one of the best.
Yeah, Leggett's kind of a power-type player.
Power player, run through tackles, get him in space. Yeah.
40, he has Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle out of Arizona. And the comp is Deion Dawkins.
Oh, I don't see that at
all. Yeah, I don't see that one.
Deion Dawkins is like 350, big belly on him, mash you. You know, he's
Morgan's light on his feet.
Yeah.
But
I think he's more of a guard slash movement guy.
Yeah.
Light feet, like you said, outside zone, you know, get on the move.
At 41, he has Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle out of Florida State, and the comp is Zach Seiler.
Mm. Okay. I mean, they're both effort guys that don't blow you away with arm length and, you know, all their other skills. I mean, he's a good athlete. He tested extremely well, but I guess I see that.
42, he has Tavondre Sweat, and the comp is Jordan Davis.
I say you don't mean to pick from there. Right.
Give me the big, you know.
He played more snaps than Davis did, though.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is impressive.
At 43, he has Jatavion Sanders, and the comp is Trey McBride.
I think McBride's a better receiver at the catch point and setting up routes, but he also did very little as a rookie, too. So
yeah.
if you look at him as prospects, they're second-round players.
That might be a little rich for me for Sanders.
Yeah. I think he's a Darren Waller.
Yeah, that's a good call. At 44, he has Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan, and the comp is Santana Moss.
Ooh, Santana Moss was an electric 5'9". Wilson's faster than people think, though.
He ran a 4.39.
Yeah, he can fly. I think he's more than a slot. Santana Moss was a heck of a player, though, coming out of the U.
I understand. I think Wilson's pretty good.
I do, too.
They just didn't throw it. They never threw the football.
No, the production doesn't bother me with him.
Yeah.
No.
At 45, he has Jonathan Brooks, first running back on the board. And the comp is Aaron Jones.
Good one.
I see that one, yeah.
Yeah, good receiver, well-rounded.
Similar size.
Yeah, long speed. Okay.
Yeah. At 46, Junior Colson, the linebacker out of Michigan, and his comp is Nick Bolton.
Taller, bigger,
yeah,
but great at aligning guys, smart, maybe doesn't run the best 40 of all time. Okay, there's some comparisons there.
Yeah. 47 is Malachi Corley, the wide receiver out of Western Michigan. And once again, the comp is Jonathan Mingo.
Oh, using that one.
Johnny Mingo twice. Johnny Mingo. Somebody, wow. You look like somebody walked across your grave.
I mean, they scheme a lot up for him like they did Mingo.
Yeah.
I think Corley might be better after the catch, you know, breaking tackles, running through the secondary.
Yeah. At 48, he has Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon, and the comp is Deontay Johnson.
I think he's probably faster, better long speed than Johnson. He should pattern his game route running off after Johnson.
Johnson.
Neither one's a great blocker. I mean, Franklin's a zero blocker. Okay, I can live with that.
Yeah. At 49, he has Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota, and the comp is Justin Simmons.
I think that's dead on.
Yeah.
Tall, do it all, smart. That's a good one.
Yeah. And then at 50 is Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback out of Alabama, and his comp is Joey Porter Jr. I don't see that one. Joey's much longer.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Joey is more gifted of the two. I mean, he said longer, faster, less refined, though. I mean, McKinstry started as a true freshman for Nick Saban. I mean, he's not that he wins entirely from the neck up, but he's great from the neck up, you know, and can fit every scheme, better in man than zone as Porter is. I don't really see that comp, though.
Yeah. I just said with – I don't know who you would comp Joey Porter Jr. to.
It's a tough one. I mean, it would be a man cover press guy.
Who's six.
Who has rare length.
Very rare length.
Yeah. Think on that one. I'm bad at comps, but that's a tough one.
There aren't many of those. He might be a unicorn.
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
It's not Richard Sherman. Sherman was an off-ball guy.
And he didn't run well. Yeah.
Didn't run as well. Right. I don't know.
Anyways, that was the top 50 for Matt Miller on ESPN. And you can check that out on there. But, yeah, it's always interesting. It makes you think about the guys a little bit differently when you throw the comps in there.
Especially whenever you think about it, like, how was the comp used in the NFL? Where did he win? Can he win that way? Like, this is a much bigger conversation, but I have some reservations against the Wilsons, McConkeys, if they can only play slot.
Yeah.
You know, because you get pushed around a lot there. I mean, like, you better show me, if I'm taking that guy in the second round, he needs to show me he can win outside. I think both those guys can.
Yeah.
But, like, that mold of player, the Welkers of the world aren't as prevalent as they used to be.
No, they aren't. That's for sure. The league has changed. College football's changed.
Yeah.
In that regard as well with and, some of the stuff that they're asked to do.
Blocking at receiver and playing the run at corner has become a much bigger deal than it used to be, too, with all this nickel, dime, light boxes, you know, right. You
have, absolutely.
They're going to run Nick Chubb right at you.
Yeah, all day long.
All day long.
All day long. You better be. You're gonna have to
especially
tackle.
Especially if that receiver can block a little bit.
Yeah, you can't run away from him.
Right.
Because they're gonna find you.
They're gonna find you.
Anyways, let's get to another break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are at the NFL spring meetings here at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando. We will be back with more from the Ritz-Carlton right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And we are live here at the NFL spring meetings in Orlando and continuing our coverage here on Steelers Nation Radio. And, Matt, we've had a nice conversation there earlier with Rob King about some of the Steeler moves here. One move that people had did, there had been some rumors that the Steelers might have been asking about L'Jarius Sneed.
Mm-hmm.
The trade went down Saturday, I guess it was.
Yeah, it's been a couple days now.
Yeah. But he gets shipped to Tennessee. Tennessee's been active.
I think they're pushing things in. They had a ton of cap space. You know, the new regime, new GM from a year ago. I think ownership's saying, hey, we need more from you guys. And I give them credit for building, and I think they'll continue to do this with an offensive line draft pick or two, at least putting Levis in a situation we need to evaluate him. You know, like Carolina's doing the same thing. Like, maybe we're overspending on guards, but at least in the end, maybe we're overspending on Ridley. But in the end, I'll at least have an answer on Young and Levis and say, I gave you everything. Can you did you perform or not?
It's interesting that he was traded for a third-round pick and a swap of 2024 seventh-round draft picks.
It's an odd trade. It's a next year third-rounder,
right.
too. Right.
Yeah, next year's third-rounder. That's what they would have gotten at the very least if they let him hit free agency next year.
Mm-hmm.
So why not hold on to him?
And try to win.
And try, yeah.
Well, and except he eats cap space this year.
I understand
that's
that,
a big
but
month.
You know,
yeah.
Do they? I mean, they've cleared enough space to make the moves that they've already made. What are they clearing something for something additional?
Another. That's my thought too. Is they're and I don't know the Chiefs cap like the back of my hand or anything, but I do know they can borrow from the bank of Mahomes.
Right.
They can,
which they've already done this year. They already
did that.
Yeah.
And that made space for Marquise Brown and Chris Jones and all those guys. But it is odd that it's a next year third because that's the same as a comp.
Right.
Although you think the Titans pick is going to be earlier than the end of the third round. Granted. And you don't know. Maybe their plan next year is they're going to spend more than they lose. Then you wouldn't be in the comp game either.
Right.
I don't know enough of their, you know, their future situation. But the swap of seventh round picks is like, yeah, throw me a cracker on top. You know, it's like nothing. And I'm sure there's a lot of people going across every city, why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Well,
now that the Titans now have to pay him.
And that hasn't worked out much lately.
Yeah.
You know, where and I think the league has adjusted where I'm not giving you two firsts for Jamal Adams or even Khalil Mack, who's a much better player than Adams, and paying him. You know, that you got to be really special. And I know, like, the Steelers have been rumored with Ayuk and things like that. It's like to give up a first for any player or multiple firsts for any player and a huge chunk of cap space.
Doesn't make good financial sense in the long term.
I mean, usually that doesn't – history shown over the salary cap era, the last decade, that the team getting the picks wins.
Yeah.
And now, I'm not saying
– I'll say this. The receivers that have gotten traded moved in recent years.
Hasn't been bad.
Hasn't been bad at all.
A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Usually that's for like a first and an extension.
Right.
At the stage of their career, like in Ayuk, where he's just hitting his stride, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean,
you know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting. So I think a big reason the Snead is not a Steeler, though, is they're the highest spending defense in the league and the lowest spending offense, and I don't think you want to make that
continue that balance.
Keep pushing it the other way too. I think you want another balance, and it's not Vegas here. You're not trying to get, you know, players or people to bet on both sides, so you're 16th in both.
Yeah.
The goal is to win games. You know, it doesn't matter where the money goes, but you don't want to be so extreme on one side of spending. It just makes things tough, and I think they like this corner class.
Yeah, and the cornerback position as a whole, we've talked about this before, the variance from year to year is tremendous.
Very volatile. I mean, part of this is because Pro Football Focus now exists, which I don't put a lot of stock in their corner grades. But I do think if you pulled a GM or a defensive back coach and said, give me the top 10 corners of 2020, 2022, and 2024. I bet there wouldn't be many names on all three lists.
It's really different. I had to do the when I did the vote for the Hall of Fame in 2019. It just so happened to be at the end of the decade, so I also had to vote on the 2010 All Decade team.
Oh, okay.
And putting the corners together on that list was like you're looking at it and like, okay, you know this guy's making it. You know that guy. Like,
I mean, Woodson and Deion and those guys are easy.
Those guys are.
There's a couple easy ones, right?
But then you start looking at that third or fourth guy, and you're like, okay, this guy had a really good
2 years.
Two out of 5 years were really good, but the other three were eh.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the hard part of it.
Yeah, it's a hard position, not to invest in, but to count on a little bit. You know, year to year, it's a little bit volatile, and I think part of it's because it's so reaction. I think it's the position that athleticism means the most.
Yeah.
And if I have a toe or an ankle or a knee that's 80%, not 100%, well, maybe that year I'm not quite as good. Or how do they employ me? You know, what's my pass rush like?
I mean,
it's like,
what quarterbacks do I play this year?
Who do I play this year?
Yeah.
Who's in my
division? Receivers am I going up
against?
Am
I following like Porter, or am I left right in it like Sauce? You know, I mean,
well, so that was the interesting or the very good part about Joey Porter Jr. last year as a rookie, that he showed he could follow guys.
That's deep. I mean, that's throwing you in the deep end stuff.
Yeah, that holds. Like when you're doing that, now you've shown me that you A, you can do it, but B, maybe, you know, that is better for your long term progression, that you're not going to fall off the cliff.
I tend to think so too. You know, that hey, you're going to be a heavy man press corner guy against the best guys out there, and you showed it at an early age. You went over some hurdles that other corners didn't at your developmental stage. You know, after
and
year
I think
one.
Sometimes as well, when you look at these cornerbacks, like maybe L'Jarius Sneed, I don't know how different Tennessee's scheme is going to be from Kansas City.
I don't either.
And what he was going to, you know, what's he going to be asked to do? Like, he was a you just cover this guy. Like, he followed number one receivers all season last year.
Into the slot, too.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I mean,
Is Tennessee going to ask him to do that?
See,
and how different is their scheme to be able to do that?
Like, from a Steelers perspective, it would be awesome to have two number one corners
that
follow number one receivers. But it's not needed.
Right.
You know, like, it's not like
if you have two of those guys, you're just going to stay on sides.
That's what I'm saying. Do you just make them left-right then, or?
Unless you're playing the Bengals and you go, okay, we want this guy on Higgins,
exactly,
we want this guy
too,
on,
right.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is a better matchup against this particular receiver. It would be a wonderful flexibility tool, but it might be also a bit of a luxury too.
Yeah.
I mean, especially after making the Carolina trade. I mean, I think you have your number two corner, and I think day two sets up really well to draft another.
Yeah, you know, so. No, I agree.
So
yeah.
I would rather use that resource on offense.
Yeah, I would as well. And so, you know, would be nice to add a guy like that, but not necessary. And,
I'd rather sign him in free agency without the pick, too.
Yeah.
You know, the double whammies, A little rough.
That's the tough part. And, you know, it goes back to the Justin Fields trade. You know, I was not in on trading a day one or day two pick mm-hmm. on that guy.
On him, yeah.
Now, when you start saying, well, it's a future day three pick, okay, now I'm interested.
Sure, I'll roll the dice.
Now I'm interested because I'm probably, you know, and the Steelers haven't done anything with him yet, and they're going to have to make a decision, you know, early May whether they pick up that fifth year option. Mm-hmm. I would guess that they do
will.
Not
right, right.
at $25 million. They have to also make that decision on Najee Harris. But you can sign those guys to long-term deals, to extensions.
Oh, of course.
That
yeah.
take that out of the equation.
Yeah, and now he's a Steeler. You're going to get to know him better, and you're going to more communications with him. You could wait a couple of weeks and be like, I'm in on what he's doing. I'll offer him a contract before that May 2nd. Or doesn't even have to be. There's no deadline for offering the contract.
Right. You can do that
in training camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Ravens.
That's what I'd like to do.
The Ravens could have done that with Patrick Queen.
Mm-hmm.
They could have said, hey, Patrick, we're not going to give you that fifth-year option, but we'd like to give you an extension anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they had those conversations or not, I don't know.
See, I bet not with that one because they made Roquan the highest-paid linebacker. You know, so
you couldn't have $30 million tied up in your linebackers.
And when they drafted Trenton Simpson last year in the third round, like,
yeah,
everyone on the planet knew the world that that was coming.
Yeah, I've seen the Ravens must not have liked Patrick Queen because they didn't pick up his 50-year option. That doesn't necessarily that's not necessarily the case. You can't have too much spending at one position.
No, and I think they adored Roquan,
yeah.
and there was questions about Queen when they made the Roquan trade. It's a very important position in their offense, communication-wise, as well as middle-of-the-field stuff. They stress taking away the middle-of-the-field more than any defense in the league, and Queen now kicked his coverage, really.
I mean,
we haven't talked much about this, and I don't feel super strong about it, but it seems a little odd to me that on May 2nd of 2024, I have to make this decision. You know, like,
it is a strange time to do it.
I mean, it was really weird for Jordan Love. It was weird for Daniel Jones. Fields is not going to be able to – he's not going to get that picked up, you know. But he's at least played and gave us some tape to go off of. But it's pretty early in someone's career to really make that decision.
Yeah, 3 years in.
Because it's a big decision.
It's a huge decision, especially for the quarterback position.
Yeah,
because you're paying that guy when you pick it up now, and those rules all changed with the new CBA a couple of years ago, where it used to be they were slotted in,
mm-hmm.
and so you were the 28th pick. This is what you get.
Yeah.
Now it's
Pro Bowls and things like that.
Pro Bowls are factored in. Now it's like the transition tag number, even if you didn't do that. It's a bigger number than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. And Pro Bowls, we know what they. I mean, they're not exactly set in stone as. Boy, he's one of the best players.
Well, I think with that you have to be voted into the Pro Bowl.
Oh, okay, you're not the alternate.
You can't be the alternate. Yeah,
yeah.
But even at that, I mean,
even at that, yeah. It's something though. I mean, at least the best players are getting the most money, but that makes it even more of a tough decision. It's just tough in sometimes these quarterbacks' careers. Do I really want him to become a free agent? I mean, the Giants were scared to death of what if Jones has a big year?
And we don't have anybody. Yeah,
right. And then we're stuck. That's not how you should make decisions, though, either.
No, I agree with you, for sure.
I think Najee's an easy one.
Yeah, I think you pick Najee up and
because
move on.
Running backs are cheap as could be. For as
It's like $6 million, a little over $6 million. That's a drop in the bucket.
It's a different conversation than a franchise tag the following year.
Yeah.
And it's almost double that.
But it'd be the weird part of it is, so the Steelers, I believe, fully guaranteed Najee's rookie contract. So he'll have played his first 5 years in the league at fully guaranteed money.
Why did they do that? What was the logic behind that?
I think it was just because of the position.
Okay.
I
think that's rare in the league. I don't know contracts well enough, but I think that's rare.
I believe it's the first time the Steelers have done anything like that.
Yeah, I'd say that's a compliment to the player, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, it's going right now. I think a lot of teams are now doing it with their first-round draft picks where you – lock in that money.
I need to look into that. I don't
know
much about that situation. I'm not sure why you do it if you don't have to.
I think that's just kind
of
the going rate now
for
these guys in the first round. But, we'll see how that works out here. But, I think they pick up Najee Harris's deal.
I think the fifth year they definitely do.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I mean, they plan on running him quite a bit. After that, it's more of a decision time.
Yeah, he's one of your foundational pieces of your offense
mm-hmm.
now, especially with Arthur Smith.
Not showing any signs of slowing down or anything like that either.
No.
I mean, extensions are the different conversation, but picking up that at guaranteed money is fine.
Absolutely. We're going to get to another break. Right. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are here at the NFL meetings in Orlando. Things will be picking up more tomorrow. We'll talk about a little bit more about some of those things here and when we come back after this on The Drive.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. We are at the NFL spring meetings here in Orlando, and one of the big reasons we're here, Matt, will happen later today when Mike Tomlin will meet with the media here, the local media. So the way this works, he has a sit-down with the local media. It's the only time in the offseason that he speaks. So this will be our first opportunity to talk to him about all the offseason moves that the Steelers have made. You know, maybe some planning of some other stuff, moves that have yet to be made. Sure. Of course, he's not going to tell us exactly what's going to happen.
All their plans,
but we're going to talk about just everything that's kind of happened.
And that's just with you guys, right?
That's just with the local media. Then tomorrow morning, they have the tomorrow morning, the coaches' breakfast. Yeah, that's tomorrow morning's the coaches' breakfast, where all the coaches sit down. The AFC coaches tomorrow, the NFC coaches on Tuesday, and they have a breakfast and a sit down with the national media.
So how I remember it, and it was the first time I saw it, was there was 16 big round tables, you know, one for each team, and Belichick was over here, Reed was over here, Tomlin was over here. And whoever can sit down with them and ask them questions.
Ask whatever you want to ask.
Kind of roam around, and it's free reign to whoever's in there. And they'll answer as long as they – I guess there's a time limit. I mean, is it
– it's limited to a half an hour,
It's a half hour that everybody – and the next day, rinse, repeat with the NFC.
And sometimes Mike shows up a little late for those, oftentimes. But, you know, he has done his major media stuff will happen today. Like, he'll sit down with us for basically – I've done this in the past. It's usually about an hour. And just, you know, answers everything. And it, you know, it's a great time to pick his brain on some stuff. And obviously.
And that's one of the best sessions of the year for you guys.
Yeah, and with the moves that the Steelers have made this offseason, it's going to be an interesting session, I would say.
Oh, I can't wait to dig into it, too. So that happens this afternoon.
That'll be this afternoon. Omar Khan.
We'll talk about that a lot tomorrow, I'm sure. Yeah.
Omar Khan scheduled to speak to the media tomorrow in the afternoon. And then we'll hear from Art Rooney II on Tuesday, pretty much when everything wraps up about any of the rule changes that happen here. So that's kind of what you're looking forward to. So you're going to see this is going to happen. Basically, this is happening for all 32 teams in the league. Their head coach will speak and those kind of things. The GM or whoever their team president will speak. So you're going to see just a glut of NFL news out there. We're already starting to see some
blurbs
stuff.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
How they react to all these different things. No, that's going to be cool. And from our perspective for the drive, we'll be reacting the next day to whatever they talked about, you know, the previous day.
Absolutely. You know, so we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about tomorrow for sure, you know, after hearing from Mike Tomlin twice.
Yeah, that's great.
By the time we go on the air tomorrow. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that works out. And starting to see some blurbs here. Robert Saleh saying he welcomes the quietness of the 2023 offseason after all the – or 2024 offseason after all the noise that was made last year because they went out. They made a move at quarterback.
They made a monumental move. That makes sense. There's never quietness, though.
No.
It's going to be like – it's
– Yeah.
The pressure's on, and you didn't get anything out of Rodgers. You're in New York. It's not going to be quiet.
Yeah. Jared Mayo, the new head coach in New England, said all options are on the board are still open for the number three overall pick in the draft.
Do you think they're listening?
I think they'd be silly not to.
I think they are, I think they are more than Washington is.
Yeah. Dan Quinn says it's fair to envision – he's the new coach in Washington. He said it's fair to envision the Commanders drafting a quarterback.
I think it's fair to envision that, I don't know if it's set in stone in their mind yet, but I think it's set in stone that's going to happen. I mean, what I meant was – Whoopi May, Whoopi Daniels,
maybe
it's McCarthy.
I just don't know who.
But that's going to be a quarterback.
Brian Daboll said that Daniel Jones is the guy when he returns from his ACL injury.
Yeah, he's far from out of the woods for being cleared yet. They really need to add weapons, but I wonder when they consider a quarterback in the draft. Could it be at six if the right guy's there? Could it be at 37, 38, wherever they pick, if it's a Pinnix or a Nix or somebody like that? Maybe. I forget, who did they get as the backup? I think they signed a brand-name quarterback. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I'm just looking here. They do have an out after the 2024 season without, where he would just be
It's not a crazy contract.
It's a $22.2 million cap hit, dead cap money, that they would carry over to 2025 if they would move on from Daniel Jones after
the season.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not crippling. And we talked on the last segment about how they had kind of were stuck on that fifth-year option situation with him. Probably regret the decision they made. But to be fair to Jones, he also got hurt last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he did some good things his first year with Daboll. But I think you have to look at that, too. And can he be a difference maker? Could he be a – you know, a truck instead of a trailer, and I lean towards no.
They signed Drew Locke.
Locke, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it was somebody they were excited about. Yeah, you know, and I guess
they're kind of Daniel Jones and Drew Locke are kind of the same.
They
dude.
Have a lot of similarities.
I mean, the same dude.
Yeah, they're in the same draft class. They're both very athletic. Some inconsistencies, you know. Locke's interesting to me. Like I don't look at him and be like, oh, he might be the answer. But if you look at what happened to him recently. Seattle insisted on getting him back in the Wilson deal. So they must not – they didn't think he was a throwaway in that trade. And then they go into next season and say, it's going to be a Locke-Geno Smith race. And I was like, are you insane? You know?
Yeah,
and
that's what you're going to settle on?
And I think they like both. You know, Geno ended up winning and did good things. And then when he left Seattle, I think Seattle's GM said something along the lines of, well, the Giants said that he could be in the mix for a starting job. We weren't willing to give that to him at this stage because we're so happy with Geno, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what's true and what was said or not, but I don't know that he's just a total throwaway, lifetime backup, forget about him guy.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean, you know, Daniel Jones could be a quarterback who's on the open market next year.
I think there's a good chance of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless of what he does this year.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, if you look at next year, his base salary is $30 million, and his cap is $41 million. They may just look at it and say, Daniel, we like you. Mm-hmm. We don't like you at $41 million.
Right, right. So he could be a cap casualty. I mean, he needs to have a pretty good year.
Yeah.
You know, to get that money back.
Which could be tough for him coming off an ACL.
Could be.
Especially for
could
the
be.
Way he plays the game.
Exactly. It sounds like it's a ways away till he's ready.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's some, you know, we talked about Connor Williams last week a lot, that situation.
Like that. Yeah.
That, you know, with these guys coming back off ACLs, it's tough.
Especially late in the year ones.
Yeah.
Like Jones was a lot earlier than Williams, but still, pivotal time in your career when, you know, not for long. I mean, that's what the league's all about. You got to take advantage while you can.
Absolutely.
We'll
start hearing more news like that that's going to start happening here. Obviously, there'll be a lot of questions around the league about, you know, why did the Chiefs trade Legarius Sneed, which we just talked about, or, you know, what's the Rams' plan with Aaron Donald's retirement? Things like that.
Then more problems will spring up. And, you know, an interesting thing, just back to the Giants real quick, like, let's say they love McCarthy and he falls to six and they grab him. But then he's not throwing anybody. You know, like that's almost pigeonholed to be a receiver, even if it's Brock Bowers. I mean, like, just give me the best receiver available. So no matter who my quarterback is, I at least have something more than Wandale Robinson and those type of guys. You know, Waller might retire. So is this a year to do that? I mean, maybe the second round it is, but I don't know in first round that's best thing for your team now.
Yeah.
You know,
no, it's tough.
So you got to weight that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. And you also, this is a situation, everybody talks about the combine being a place where some deals get made because all the teams are there.
Oh.
Well, now here you've got all the NFL movers and shakers are all here.
The decision makers are here.
The decision makers are here.
And the scouts aren't here.
You know, you're sitting around, you say, well, what would it take to get T. Higgins off of you, for example.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth having that conversation. I'm sure there's plenty of agents floating around, if not all of them. You know, I mean, why would there not be?
Yeah.
I think there could be a lot of movement this week. Maybe not even set in stone. It comes out, here's a trade.
Or extension talks with agents and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You start those.
Absolutely.
You start that down that road with those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Steelers have some guys that, you know, do they extend Pat Freiermuth this offseason?
I think that could be in the cards. Yeah.
I think that's in the cards. Probably doesn't happen until closer to training camp.
Sure.
But
not a priority right now.
Yeah. But there's things like that are coming down the pike here, and those are things that
You know, they already made a decision on Deontay. I mean, it was pretty clear. I don't think they were going to give him the money he wants a year from now. So, no, those things, there's a lot of big picture stuff. And, you know, I was talking about this with draft picks, too. Like, why did that team draft that guy? Well, because someone a year from now is coming up with free agency. You know, like, that wasn't
the writing's on the wall.
Yeah. I mean, they tell you what they think. It's just like the Simpson Queen thing.
Absolutely.
You know, with the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to do it for our show today,
Matt. This was fun,
yeah, absolutely fun. We want to thank Rob King for stopping by and dropping in to talk to us here. And, you know, I want to thank my partner, Matt Williamson, here, as usual.
Thank you.
I want to thank Justin back in the studio keeping us on the air. And we want to thank you for listening and watching, if you're watching this on YouTube.
How about Gerard, the fine work he's doing?
Gerard doing a job here. Gerard Schaefer, our intrepid cameraman here, keeping us on the air as well. We want to thank everybody for watching and listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.